Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Eerie House Radio. This is Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with
Dave Binkley from Weird, This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with
Rock, probably want an Easter egg.
It is I, Garth Gould, blah, blah, to you all.
Watch how you tackle there.
And his keyboard. And we've got, it's
and
Easter
my
weekend.
I'm not touching it, curiously. Yes.
Easter weekend, the bunnies are hopping down the Easter trail, hippity-hoppity, and all that sort of stuff. And we got Easter shows for you. All comedy tonight.
Ooh. Yes, all comedy. All comedy tonight, all comedy tomorrow, because Easter is such a fun time. I mean, growing up, that was really a fun time. We always went to Lima to visit my grandparents, and we always had an Easter egg hunt. Even up when we were up in the high school, it was still fun doing it. As corny as
I don't like their beans. I do not like their beans.
I do.
Is Lima near Parma?
No.
Where's my polka?
It used to be 3 hours away, but now due to climate change, it's only 2.5 hours away.
Okay.
No, actually, they completed the double lane highway, and it cut off a half hour time getting to Lima from Akron, Ohio.
I'll take it. My dad lost his job at the cemetery. He buried someone in the wrong plot. It was a grave mistake. Okay, there you go.
All righty
then. I'm sorry. I had to make someone famous. Sorry. Okay.
Wow.
I was.
Wow.
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 When was the last time you saw a rabbit? I haven't seen a rabbit in a long time. I know I've seen one.
I see bunny tracks in the snow here. And especially since it's Good Friday and I was up scraping my car window today.
it was a fun bit of spring weather with all the snow up in Ohio and places north. I saw that.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh.
Where's that comedian radio voice? Ooh.
Ooh. Well,
what's his name? On the Flintstones, they spoofed him. Ooh, aren't we sneaky? Who was that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I can't do it. I can't pipe through his voice. My name is Jack Benny. I need to buy something. That guy?
Oh, of Frank Nelson. Frank Nelson.
Yes.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking of.
You know what's funny is on YouTube, I just watched the entire Jack Benny 20th anniversary for him being on television. Frank Nelson was there, and he was at the airport. Said, "Are you the ticket taker?" Said, "No, I'm a 747 with a mustache." You know,
exactly.
Oh man!
Oh my!
Now, before we get into our port affair for the evening, just to keep everything straight, because we're chronicling everything we do. Gar, you mentioned a certain city in Ohio. What was its name again?
Parma. That one?
Did somebody say Parma?
That's what you do in Cleveland when someone says Parma.
That's right.
Someone stole a Kishka.
Someone stole a Kishka.
That's right.
Yeah. I just recently downloaded that particular thing about the Kishka, and it had a whole bunch of little video clips of the original ghoul
Yes, Goulardi.
And then the Ghoul, the guy you worked with, Dale. And then I don't know who posted that. I don't know if that was the monkey and the mummy thing, or that was you. I don't remember.
Got it from somewhere else. If it was the mummy and the monkey, somebody put that together. I saw that too, Gar. Recently, we must have seen maybe
in
the same place. Yeah.
Which nobody here in Florida knows what any of that means, but I get it.
You know, and I can tell you the origins of that. Of course, Dale can too. It comes from Big Chuck, when Big Chuck was directing Goulardi. And he said, you know, come on, I just moved into my house. It's a good neighborhood. Everybody likes there. So if you say Parma the way you do, I'm going to have to cut your mic. And they knew they couldn't have dead air. And it's like he was daring Goulardi, Ernie Anderson, to say Parma.
And he did.
The next time he said it, you know, he cut his mic, and like there was shock on his face when he heard it. Then all of a sudden he heard this song, and laughter started swaying to the music. And every time he said Parma after that, this song just about appeared.
Yep, and then the Ghoul carried on that tradition afterwards, which is why you see that video compendium of very Clevelandy stuff with some random video thrown in as well. Pretty cool. Yeah. Hey, we're here for radio, aren't we?
We are. I need to turn this off.
I bet we have a lot of radio tonight.
I'm agreeing.
Sure.
Somewhere. Where are we going to start?
It's darn good Easter's stuff. We've resurrected these classic tales. We got, what have we got? We got Phil Harris and Alice Faye tonight. One of my favorites, mm-hmm. Our Miss Brooks, and Life of Riley, another favorite of mine. All three are really good comedy shows.
Phil Harris and Alice Faye, that's the newbie to the show. Maybe we should start off with them. I'm only a little disappointed that this was not as good as a recording as most of the recordings out there. But it was the best version of this that I could find. And I cleaned it up a little, and I think it's listenable. But I think this show was one, especially for the 1950s, was one of the funniest shows on the 1950s. They didn't even try it on television, but the fact is, this show was just so unreal that television could not have done with Phil Harris, Alice Faye show what radio did. I mean, like once they got, Phil lost Alice's wedding ring down the drain, so when they tried to get it back, they flooded the entire kitchen, and they had flooded the whole kitchen. They were diving down to try and get it. So you can't do that on television. You can do that on radio.
Yeah.
I think there's a way you could do that on television.
Yeah, but it would be watered down.
Banger. Get the banger out.
You shoot it through an aquarium. And the aquarium doesn't have to be big, but there's your water, you know, and you have that water effect, you know.
Or you do it how Weird Al did in Spy Hard,
All right, Gar, you're in charge of special. You're too forward. You're in charge of special effects. We do have a lot of radio, you know.
Whoa, what happened there? Dave, is there a police action going on near you? Dave, is there a police action going on where you are?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
But if you're going to wait a minute.
Give him time. Give him time.
You might hear sirens, and you might hear someone typing on the keyboard. We're not sure what's going to happen tonight. But,
and only one of them is me.
And you might even get to hear some good radio shows like Phil Harris and Alice Faye. This one's entitled The Easter Bunny.
What? Wait. It's too many Easter bunnies? Is it? Am I wrong? Wait.
No. Harris and Alice say the Easter Bunny. Is it not?
Too many Easter bunnies.
Too many Easter bunnies.
Okay, you freaked me out. Okay, all right.
Just making just trying to bring you down from the coffee, man.
With an air date. April 9th, 1950, according to 18.
Good health to all from Rexall. It's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall Drug Products, and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening and happy Easter from 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists. Tonight we have some unusually important news for you. This coming week, in five different magazines, you'll be seeing a double-page advertisement telling you about Rexall's spring one-cent sale that starts April 20th and runs through the 24th. This ad will appear in Life, Look, the Saturday Evening Post, Collier's, and the Farm Journal. And it contains 197 different items, all of them regular Rexall-branded guaranteed merchandise. And all of them offered to you at two for the price of one plus a penny. These items and many more are available at any Rexall drugstore in the country. So it's a nationwide chance to buy twice as much for a penny more. Watch for this ad. Check what you need in advance and use the ad as your shopping list. Remember, it appears this coming week in the Farm Journal, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, Look, and Life. And when that money-saving date of April 20th rolls around, remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to you all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, and Whitfield. Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Yesterday, being the day before Easter, Phil insisted on telling the children the story of the Easter Bunny. So let's go back to yesterday and listen in while Phil tells the story in his own inimitable fashion.
And so you see, kids, when you're asleep tonight, the Easter Bunny will drive up with his reindeer, come down the chimney, and put the colored eggs under the tree.
Phil, you have the wrong holiday.
Wrong holiday? Oh, yeah, of course. I got it mixed up with the 4th of July.
That's right, Wonga. Easter is the day when if the turkey comes out and sees his shadow, you know it's 6 weeks until Labor Day.
So that's how they know when Labor Day comes, huh?
Daddy, do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
Well, sure. Me and Frankie see him quite often.
What does he look like?
Well, he has big ears, pink eyes, and a funny nose that twitches.
We know what Uncle Frankie looks like. It's all the bunny.
Well, that was the bunny. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, there is a similarity. But you know something, kids? I talk to the bunny all the time.
Oh, Father, please.
What's the matter? Don't you kids believe me? What are you, a couple of clinics or something? Tell you a beautiful story about the Easter Bunny and you don't believe me.
I believe you, Philip, and please go on. You intrigue me.
Well, if it isn't Uncle Wiggily, pull up a cabbage and sit down. You kids will think differently tomorrow morning when you see the eggs my friend the rabbit leaves tonight. You'll think differently, all right. Come on, Alice. Let's leave these two little disbelievers here.
Phyllis, you really believe that corny bunny story? It figures.
Gee, poor Daddy. He'll be awful disappointed if that rabbit doesn't show up tonight. We've got to do something about it.
What can we do?
It's simple. All we have to do is find a big rabbit that can talk.
Oh, sis, you've been popping your bubble gum too hard.
Where can we find a talking rabbit?
I know a guy.
Where do we find this guy?
Well, you know Daddy's other radio program?
You mean the one that he stars on for Lucky Strike?
Yes. Well, there's a stooge on that program who can talk like a rabbit.
Oh, I don't think Mr. Benny can talk like a rabbit.
Alice, Mr. Benny is not a stooge. Daddy says he's the best straight man he ever had. And he anyway, I'm talking about Mel Blanc. He's the one who plays Bugs Bunny in the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Oh, yes, he's wonderful. Let's call him and see if he'll dress up in a rabbit suit and come over.
Yeah, and will Daddy be surprised? But remember, we gotta keep it a secret. We'll tell Mr. Blank to come to the back door so nobody will know that he's here.
Alice, wait a minute. You don't have to tell me. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny, but children should. Gee whiz. I want them to live in their little world of make-believe as long as they can. I want them to have faith in the little sprites and elves who cavort through the fiction of fairy tales.
Thank you, Mother Goose.
Okay.
Now, you know no rabbit's going to show up tonight.
I know no rabbit's going to show up tonight. But tomorrow morning when the kids wake up and they find the colored eggs, and then they'll think that the bunny was here. And that must be Frankie. I'll get it. I told him to get a dozen eggs and some dye on his way over. Oh, hello, Franklin.
Hiya, Curly. Well, I got the stuff you wanted. You get the glasses and nutmeg, and I'll mix it.
Glasses and nutmeg for what? I told you to bring eggs and dye.
Oh, I thought you said eggs and rye.
Remley, listen to me. I wanted to color eggs for the kids. Now you made a mistake.
Oh, what a pity. Now we will have to make an eggnog.
Yeah, this is going to be a great Easter for the kids. When they get up in the morning and go looking, they'll find eggnogs.
Don't worry. But we're going to put them in. Ain't going to find them.
Frankie, we ain't mixing eggnogs. Now, we're going to spend the evening coloring eggs.
We're going to do what?
Color eggs. Oh, we'll have loads of fun, Frankie. We'll take all the colored dyes and mix them with water and then put them into bowls. And then we'll take the eggs and dip them in gently, and they'll come out beautiful colors, such as violet, fuchsia, cerise, chartreuse.
Well, la-di-da! Sounds like a racy evening.
All right. Look, Remley, this is for the kids. I want them to believe in the Easter Bunny. Now, look, you've got the wrong stuff, so you'll have to go back to the store and get some dye.
All right, I'll exchange it. I'll take back the rye.
Don't touch that bottle. It has a color all its own. Old fuchsia.
We're going to dye eggs. What do you need the bottle for?
We'll use it to crack open the eggs. Now get going.
Okay. While I'm gone, do me a favor and sing.
Why do you want me to sing while you're gone?
Better than having you do it while I'm here.
Well, he wouldn't understand this number anyway. I got the song of the robin. Ain't I got a roof in the sky? Wonder why my heart keeps a throbbing, a son of God's country am I. Ain't I got the plains and the mountains? Ain't their treasures mine if I try? On my blessings, I'm counting and counting. A son of God's country am I. I've got the sun up in the sky, the streams when I am dry, the fruits on the boughs of the tree, the clouds bringing me rain, the fields giving me grain. Kids to make my cares hurry by. I may not be in heaven, but I can't be far away. A son of God's country am I.
sun up in the sky, the streams when I am dry, the fruits, the boughs of the trees, clouds bringing the rain, the fields giving me grain. Thanks to the Maker for thee. Heaven, but I can't be far away. A son of God's country am I. One of God's children am I.
Say he'd be here. He said he'd be here. That's the back door. It must be him now. I'll let him in. Gee, it's Bugs Bunny.
What's that, Jack?
Gosh, Mr. Blank, you look swell in that rabbit costume. You look like a real bunny. We asked you to come over because we want you to fool somebody. Do you think you can do it?
Well, I can do it, but I don't know if I ought to. You see, I don't like to fool people.
But you promised us. You're not going to go back on your word, are you?
Of course not. What do you think I am, a Welsh rabbit?
That's all we needed, a hokey hair.
Well, what do you expect from a rabbit? Good jokes?
Well, it's kind of hard to pass myself off as an Easter bunny. You know, kids are pretty hip these days. Who is this backward child you want me to fool?
Our daddy. He believes in the Easter bunny.
He believes in the Easter bunny? Oh, he's been nibbling on painted ham hocks. Hey, does your mother believe in this, too?
No, so don't let her see you. You sneak into the living room and sit in the corner, and we'll send Daddy in to see you. And don't forget, if Mommy comes in, hide.
Yeah, okay, Dad.
Come on, Phyllis. You tell Daddy we have a big surprise for him in the living room. Oh, Daddy!
I'm not talking to you two, you Easter bunny scoffer adders.
If you go in the living room, we have a big surprise for you.
Oh, a surprise for me? Oh, gee, that's wonderful. Hey, thanks, kids. I'll go right in. Oh, gee, it was nice of the kids to get me something for Easter. Gosh, I hope it's a potted calla lily. I wonder where they put it. I don't see anything. I got to take care of the water on my knee. Keeps gurgling. What's that sound? Seems to be coming from the corner. Oh, it's just the Easter Bunny. I knew he'd show up and wait on my... Now, wait a minute. Get a grip on yourself, Curly. Oh, now I'm seeing rabbits. And look at the size of them. I can't understand it. I haven't touched a drop in 2 months. I've been fighting it. I've been fighting it too hard. I'm suffering from battle fatigue. You're not really there, are you, Bunny? Alice, come in here quick, Alice!
What is it, Phil? What's wrong?
Alice, look in the corner. A rabbit with a glandular condition.
What are you talking about? There's nothing in the corner. I don't see anything.
He's right over. He's gone.
Who's gone, dear?
Alice, I saw a 6-foot Easter bunny sitting over there.
I know, dear. He was dressed in white fur, and he had pink eyes and big ears, and he was wearing a high hat.
Don't be funny. He wasn't wearing a high hat. It was a derby. Didn't you see him, Alice?
Of course not, Phil. You're seeing things.
Oh.
Now, lie down, dear, and I'll go get you a cup of hot tea.
Tea?
Poor Phil.
What's wrong, Alice?
Oh, it's Phil. Willie, he's seeing 6-foot rabbits. What should I do?
We'll cut down the water pressure in the shower. It's beating his little brains out.
Willie, this is no joking matter. He's seeing things, and I have to snap him out of it.
Alice, I have a suggestion. If he thinks he's seeing 6-foot rabbits, why don't you get a 6-foot rabbit and actually let him see it?
How's the water pressure in your shower, kid?
No, I mean hire somebody to put on a costume. Do you remember Julius in that Easter play last year? He wore a real rabbit suit, and you couldn't tell him from the real thing.
Oh, I see what you mean. Willie, you call Julius and tell him to come over here in his rabbit suit as fast as he can.
Very well, sis.
Oh, this'll do it. Because if there is a rabbit for Phil to see, then the one he thinks he sees won't be the one he didn't see, because he really will see the one... Oh, I'd better check the water pressure in my shower, too. I'll have to stay my way out of this. We've got to stay with the happy people. Have your fun, live in the land of joy. Stay with the happy people. Face the sun, life is a Christmas toy. Down through the endless ages, tears have been contagious. And take it from me that misery is looking around for company. So stay, stay, stay with the happy people. Don't wrinkle your brow, it's really out of sight. Just stay with the people who love to wear a smile.
Smile, smile, won't you wear a smile, 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 won't you wear a smile, 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 won't you wear a smile. If you want to stay with the happy people,
have your fun, live in the land of joy.
If you want to stay with the happy people,
face the sun, life is a Christmas toy. Down through the endless ages, years have been contagious. And you can take it from me that misery is looking around for company.
So stay, stay, stay with the happy people.
Don't you wrinkle your brow, it's strictly out of style.
Just stay, stay, stay with the people. Love, love, love all the people.
Possibly Gar's favorite part of the show.
No, you know, that was kind of what this was. Actually, it started off as basically a variety show under the Fitch Bandwagon name, and it morphed into this situation comedy, and then was taken over by the Rexall people. And basically, they came up with a situation during the show. And there were two musical breaks in there, as there were in a lot of old, like in Fibber McGee and Molly. One was a singing break and one was a band break. Well, here you had Phil who did songs and you had Alice who did songs, and they each got a song every show. Mm-hmm. So that's how the music comes in there out of the middle of nowhere.
I postulated that this would have been better instead of the singing to have a polka. You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
I also
would have had
variety.
Two polkas already.
I always like
variety
shows.
Put your postulation
shows.
Back, will you?
I always like variety shows like Ed Sullivan and so forth. I guess couldn't have the juggling acts, though, on radio. That wouldn't go over so well.
Yeah.
And
the
mind
didn't work
on
radio either.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Burns and Ellen started this variety show, too. They'd come out and do little skit-type things, and then that evolved into a full situation comedy as well. So radio really pioneered all the different comedies, which type stuff, which television, you know, there wasn't much to do. They developed the variety show and they developed the sitcom. So, you know, they just kind of.
I find it odd to break into singing in a sitcom. It wouldn't have worked with, like, the Odd Couple, you know, with Felix, and if they would have just broken the
Well,
song.
It might have. It might have.
Hey, it worked out.
Neil Simon
could have
done it.
It worked on Cop Rock. What are you talking about? It worked on Cop Rock.
Yeah.
I don't know what Cop Rock is. What is Cop Rock?
It only lasted one season, so.
Hey, it was cool. These are, policemen were arresting stuff, and they break out in the song, you know. Pretty cool. Randy Newman wrote some of the music for it, so I'm not dissing that, man. Mm-hmm. I'm not dissing that.
Yes, I guess that's what we do. Mandate musical police. It'll be like a flash mob of singing policemen.
Yeah. There'll probably be less lawsuits.
Maybe.
Except by ASCAP. There'll be more of them there, but other than that.
Yeah.
If whilst I'm being arrested, the police officer breaks into song, I'm running for it.
And that's the idea. Yeah. That's the idea.
Keep people off
the streets with music.
Was that the premise? Was they break into song, the people run, and then they chase them, and then they break into song again, and there's more running? And
no,
was,
they run.
No,
they stop breaking the law. No. They run and hide.
Hide from the singing policeman. Just to get me off the street. Another thing, and I put it in that she was singing about the happy people, which I was like,
the happy people.
Okay.
Yes.
And I made mention that most of the happy people in the 1950s were securely locked in an asylum. That's,
yes.
We still have those.
I read that somewhere recently.
Yeah, the happy people, they were still in asylums. They didn't let them go until the 70s, and then, they went into politics.
It's amazing what electroshock therapy can do for you.
Yep. It is. Here's a little sidebar. I know we need to get, but we have a whole lot of radio, but I actually met a guy who had shock therapy treatments once at the VA, and I was like, I was shocked because I didn't, shocked. I didn't know they still did that. And he was like, yeah, I don't remember the last few days, but after that, it's fine. And I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
My gosh. Anyway, we have a whole lot of radio.
Yeah, try it sometime.
I feel better.
Like, try it on, like a Thursday.
Just plug this in and chew on the wire. You'll be fine.
And then we'll see how the show goes. Let's wrap up. Phyllis.
Sure.
Phyllis or Phil Harris. Alice.
More anecdotes ahead.
Or is it Phyllis Harris and Al Fay? I have no idea. I just know there's
I thought it was
way too many Easter bunnies.
Ed
McMahon. I called Julius, and he'll be right over in his rabbit suit.
Oh, good. And when he comes, we'll sneak him in the dining room. Where, Philip?
Oh, he's still in the living room resting. Let's not disturb him because it's been quite an ordeal.
It's the most ridiculous thing that ever happened to me. If the rabbit was sitting in that corner, Alice would have seen him. But she didn't see him, so he couldn't have been there. Beginning to feel a little better. For a minute, I thought I was off my trolley. Frank, I'm derailed. Dollars.
What are you yelling, Curly? I got the dying.
What's the matter with you? You look like you've seen a ghost. Oh, I just saw worse than that, Remley. Now, take a look in that corner behind me. Please tell me that there's nothing there.
Well, I don't see any. Oh, hiya, Harvey. Thanks, Curly. I got the dog.
Wait a minute. You mean you not only see him, you know him?
I ought to. I've been seeing him for years.
Well, this animal belongs to you, huh?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. This one ain't mine. The one I always see is pink and has a long trunk and tusks.
The egg, yours, where's he come from?
Why don't you ask him?
Oh, sure. I'll just walk up to him and say, hey, Rab, where are you from?
Pasadena, Doc.
Remley's talking.
Don't
tell me. I'll make them believe I didn't hear them.
Talking English.
You're lucky. Mine talks elephant language. Can't understand a word myself.
Well, you cut that out.
Now, look, this is serious. Remley, we got to pull ourselves together. A rabbit can't talk.
But, Curly, we just...
Never mind. Now, just repeat after me. A rabbit can't talk.
A rabbit can't talk.
A rabbit can't talk.
Keep out of that. Remley did it again.
There's something phony about this rabbit. He sure is a stupid-looking thing. I've never seen such red eyes.
Hey, look who's talking.
Now, just a minute, Rabbit. My red eyes have...
All right, Frankie, stop talking to him. Look, Rab, I can't take any more of this. You better disappear and get out of my life or I'll make a rabbit stew out of you.
Oh, yeah? Don't get tough with me, Doc, or I'll cut off your foot and make a good luck charm out of it.
That does it. Come on, Remy, let's get out of this room.
You don't have to urge me. Curly, I'm throwing away the nutmeg.
Huh?
When we start seeing talking rabbits, it's time to quit.
We didn't really see him.
Hmm?
Put that nutmeg back. I tell you, we just imagined it. There's no such thing as a talking rabbit. Now forget about it and don't ever...
Oh, Phil! Don't come into the dining room a minute. I have a surprise for you.
Coming, honey. Now look, Remley, not a word to Alice about this talking rabbit.
All right.
What's the surprise, honey?
Oh, a friend of yours is here. Look over in the corner.
Where?
Right over here, Max.
Oh, no, another one. Frankie, I got another rabbit.
Capitalist. You got two rabbits. All I got is one lousy elephant.
Alice, tell me there's nothing in that corner.
Oh, but there is, honey. This is what you've been seeing. This is your Easter bunny.
Oh, no, no, no. It ain't mine. Mine's in the living room. This one's yours.
So she's got one, too. Congratulations, Alice, and welcome to our fold.
Alice, will you listen to me? This can't be the Easter Bunny. I was just talking to him in the living room.
He must be an imposter. I'm the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah? Just wait a minute. Hey, Rab, come in here a minute.
Now, Phil, please. This is the Easter Bunny. If you saw another one, it was just a figment of your imagination.
Who are you calling a figment, Blondie?
You say it.
Boy! See, I told you, there's two of them.
And what do you mean, two of us? I'm the Easter Bunny.
Thank you, Max. There's only one Easter Bunny, and that's mine.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. You're waking the wrong side of the street. I've had this territory for years. I'm Bugs Bunny.
You're Bugs Bunny? Don't you remember me? I'm Harry Hare.
Harry!
Stop kissing each other.
Doc, you see, me and the missus had a nice hutch there, but we got a new landlord who didn't allow children. And there's no place for a rabbit.
All right, rabbits, you can break it up now.
You stay out of this. How's your wife, Harry?
Haven't you, honey? She left me.
For another rabbit?
No. They mechanize when they're using them at the dog track.
Well, at least she's going around in nice circles.
All right, cut. And Julius, you can climb out of that rabbit suit now.
Okay.
What's the idea? What are you trying to pull?
Oh, it's my fault, Phil. I hired Julius to play the Easter Bunny.
Well, what about the other one?
That one I don't know about.
Well, I guess I better unmask, too. Look, Phil, it's me. Well, Mel Blanc.
Yeah, the kids hired me to play the Easter Bunny.
Oh, for goodness sakes, what a family. How wild can you get hiring two people to play rabbits? Well, thank goodness for one thing, I'm not crazy.
Curly, I hate to tell you this, but a third rabbit just came in.
Look, another one? Nah, you don't. I'm not going to fall for this again. Hey, buddy, who hired you to play the Easter Bunny?
Nobody hired me.
Well, what's your name? Who are you?
My name is Peter. I'm a real rabbit.
Phil will be back in just a moment. But right now, here's a lady with a question for our Rexall family druggist.
I want to know more about the ad on Rexall's 1 cent sale.
Well, ma'am, the ad appears this coming week in the Saturday Evening Post, Look, Life, Collier's, and the Farm Journal. And it contains 197 items offered to you during Rexall's 1 cent sale at 2 for the price of 1. Plus a penny.
What an opportunity to save.
You said it, ma'am. A 2-for-1 Rexall opportunity. Because remember, these 2 big magazine pages are crammed full of regular Rexall branded guaranteed items. Every one of them a twin bargain. Every one of them going at 2 for the price of 1 plus a penny. Now, in front of every item, there's a little square, so you can check what you need in advance.
Why, I can use the ad as a shopping list.
That's exactly what we intend it to be. It's your big chance to stock up for months in advance. Or you can team up with a neighbor or friend and share the savings. Yes, on April 20th, the starting day of Rexall's 1 cent sale, you double your buying power by simply adding a penny.
Where did you say the ad will appear?
In Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and the Farm Journal. You must get one of those at your house, so remember to watch for it. And remember also, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Again. Folks, the Red Cross belongs to you. You are the Red Cross. National Headquarters in Washington has told us that this year's quota is far undersubscribed. And as we all know, today's cost of food and shelter is higher than ever. So for every dollar you gave before, this year, add a quarter more. Good night and happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody.
The program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Mel Blanc and Arthur Q. Bryan. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Watch for the double-page ad on Rexall's 1 cent sale this coming week in Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and the Farm Journal. Sale starts April 20th. Mark the date on your calendar. It's your chance to buy 2 top-quality, guaranteed Rexall products for the price of 1 plus a penny.
and Phil Harris, or vice versa.
Hey, I got my calendar marked. I just need to find a Rexall drugstore now.
There you go.
Who's Mark?
I marked my calendar.
Well, I hope you had his consent. Okay, there you go. Did we learn anything?
Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
A thirst overindulged is a drowning.
You'd drown that way too, I guess.
See the lid lid hits you on the head and you're gone. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's done. Well, let's see.
Or you get a new hairdo.
Yeah, or just, yeah.
Oh no! I'm not gonna say
swirly
it.
Swirly time.
Grab the
kids. That cover will hit you in a place I can't mention. Yeah, okay, anyway.
The hiding.
Oi! Hi. Hey, hello, I'm going down the toilet. Okay, anyway.
So how's your coffee going, Gar?
Hey, we're down to a cup and a half. Yeah, we're all right. Yeah.
Next week, we're going to have an intervention.
With shock therapy. Yeah, it'll be great.
There you go.
I don't know where I am, but I feel okay.
Okay. All right.
Lots of comedy today.
I got to tell you.
Even on the radio shows.
I got to tell you, there were some things that kid said, like the little kid said, I know a guy. It was like, you're 8 years old, you know a guy? What's this?
Well, he always played a kind of a wise guy kid. He had the perfect voice for that. Yeah. I love Walter Tetley. He played so many characters.
You've been popping your gum too hard, you know, or something. And also there were a lot of alcoholic references. There were a lot of alcoholic references in there about don't take the gin back. No, leave it. Leave the bottle. You know, don't touch that nutmeg.
Yeah, that was the thing about Phil Harris and Frank Remley. They were supposed to be such heavy drinkers. They were not heavy drinkers. I guess they did a parade together one time, and they had some hot coffee in a thermos, and everybody thought it was alcohol.
which then they called hooch, right?
Hooch. Yeah.
Hooch.
No, that's the alcohol. Alcohol is hooch.
Yes.
Hooch.
Yep.
Hooch. Not to be confused with Turner and it was a dog, I think.
Isn't hooch the homemade stuff? Is that the homemade stuff?
I think so.
I think anything nondescript in a bag or in some type of vessel that can't be, you know, that's your hooch. Yeah, that's a, you know, kind of, unless it's a dog that drools a lot and then they make a movie. Turner and Hooch. There was a movie.
Yes, it was. All right,
and the dog was not drunk. But okay,
our
we
next show equally as funny as the last, or perhaps even more so. I think we're going to go on to our Miss Brooks, Dave. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds great. Our Miss Brooks.
Arden?
You know what's funny is Eve Arden, but you get a lot of crossovers for these different shows, like Yale Gordon, who will be on tomorrow's show with my favorite husband. Of course, there's Mr. Conklin, the principal on Our Miss Brooks. He also was Mr. Scott on the Phil Harris Al Space Show. He was also Foggy the Weatherman and Mayor of the Trivia on Fibber McGee and Molly. So he was probably the busiest bit character actor on radio. But he's in here as well, of course. And just a just doing what Gail Gordon does, getting all excited and angry. He's so good at that.
And was Eve Arden also involved in My Mother the Car, or is that someone else?
No, that was what? And who was that?
Ruth Buzzy.
Not Ann Sheridan, but the one gal that did Maisie.
Ernest Borgnine.
I know Eve Arden was involved. She watched it a lot. She watched My Mother.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I can't believe this got on television. Yeah.
Exactly.
Rob Smith Jr. said it was Ann Southern.
I could have saved that show, she thought to herself. I could have saved My Mother.
There you go.
But thankfully, she's in our radio program tonight entitled, hey, this would be a good title for a horror Easter show. It's called Easter Egg.
Die.
And it's from?
From the same time as the other one, January, February, March, April 9th, 1950, on an opposite network of the Phil Harris and Faye Show. It was,
She was on CBS and
Colgate
Phil Harris
Dental
was on
Cream
NBC.
To clean your breath.
Whoops.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. And Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Deja All Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, many of us like to share Easter breakfast with our friends. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, looked forward all week to sharing hers with several of her students and some of the faculty.
Some of the faculty being biology teacher Philip Boynton. Yes, Mr. Boynton is enough of the faculty for me. At least I hope he's for me. I know I'm for him. So much for the world of sports. Saturday afternoon found me making arrangements for the big day in my landlady's kitchen.
You certainly look domestic bustling around that stove, Connie. Tell me, what was it you just popped into that pot of boiling water?
My thumb, Mrs. Davis. Oh, you mean the white thing. That was an egg. They've got to get nice and hard before we can dye them. By the way, I saw Harriet Conklin helping you with our Easter baskets before. Where did our beloved principal's daughter disappear to?
I sent her to the grocery store for some more eggs and some dye. We were running short. Harriet is certainly a sweet little girl.
Yes, she is. Just goes to show you how little there is to heredity. Let's see those Easter baskets again. Plenty of straw, jelly beans, little yellow chicks. There's just one more thing I'd like to see in each one.
What's that, Connie?
A chocolate bunny with $1,000 bill in his mouth.
I say that's asking a little too much.
All right, then. I'll settle for a wax bunny.
I'm back, Mrs. Davis. Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Harriet. Did you get the stuff?
Yes, ma'am. Here's the dye, and I got a couple of dozen eggs.
Good. Let's put some more of these in to boil.
I'll do it. What's the schedule for tomorrow, Miss Brooks? When do you want us to come for breakfast?
Oh, about 10 o'clock will be fine, Harriet. Then we'll all be on time for the Easter parade.
I'll bet you'll look stunning, Miss Brooks. What kind of an outfit are you wearing this year?
Well, in some ways, it's quite similar to the outfit I wore last Easter.
How do you mean, Miss Brooks?
Same hat, coat, dress, and shoes. I did invest in something new, though. A gossard narrow-line girdle.
Does it really make you look narrow, Connie?
Narrow? When I stand sideways, you can't see me at all. I like to think.
Oh, that reminds me. I'd better get over to the cleaners and pick up Daddy's Easter outfit. You know how meticulous he is when he appears in public.
He's not only meticulous, he's impeccable.
He's not only impeccable, he's impossible. I mean impatient. So you better run along now, Harriet.
Okay, Miss Brooks. See you tomorrow. Bye, Mrs. Davis.
Goodbye, dear, and thanks for the help. Now, you'll probably want to wash up after you mix that dye, Connie, so I'll get some clean towels for the pantry sink.
Thanks, Mrs. Davis. Da da dum dee 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 dee. Come on in, the door's open.
It is I, Miss Brooks, your own personal Easter bunny.
At last. Just dropped the $1,000 bills in the basket. Oh, it's Walter Denton.
Tell me that I'm in time, Miss Brooks. Tell me that you didn't dye your eggs yet.
You're in time, Walter. I didn't dye my eggs yet.
Thank goodness. Miss Brooks, just before the holidays, I hit on a new dye in the chem lab at school that's absolutely sensational.
A new dye?
Yes, ma'am. That's why I'm so glad you didn't color your eggs yet. I want you to do it with my stuff. It's absolutely dynamite.
Walter, I just want the Easter eggs to look pretty, not blow up.
Miss Brooks, we need to get a load of this stuff. It'll revolutionize the egg dyeing industry. I'll make millions out of this. Billions. And you, Miss Brooks, will get my everlasting gratefulness.
That's my usual cut.
I call it magic dye tint tomorrow.
Tint tomorrow?
Yeah, I took the two words tint and tomorrow and made a word marriage out of it.
Well, I hope they'll be very happy together. Just how does this stuff work, Walter?
Well, it's a powder, Miss Brooks, but a delayed-action powder. In other words, when you dye an egg with tint tomorrow, no color change takes place at all today.
It doesn't?
Naturally not. It changes its tint
tomorrow.
That's why I call it
tint tomorrow. Well, that was fun. What'll we do now?
I brought over these sample eggs that I dyed yesterday, Miss Brooks. Look, red, blue, green, purple. Aren't they beautiful?
They are nice, Walter. Very brilliant. Is this invention of yours easy to apply?
Well, easier than that old-fashioned stuff. These two bags will dye 12 eggs each. And now, look, I've got to get downtown on an errand for my folks, so I'll just leave these four extra bags by your pantry sink on my way out.
Well, I'll certainly be happy to try it, Walter.
Remember, Miss Brooks, I haven't got this invention patented yet, so you mustn't breathe a word about it. In fact, I must insist on an oath of secrecy.
Walter, I won't even tell the eggs.
Here are the clean towels, Connie. I'd have come back sooner, but I was on the phone with Mrs. Conklin. She's got a problem, poor dear.
I know. I work for him.
Oh, I don't mean Mr. Conklin. She's worried about parading in the sun tomorrow morning. She says she gets a lot of freckles that way.
Oh, that's as good a way as any. What did you recommend?
Some of this remarkable face cream I got at the beauty parlor last week. It's called Freckle Off.
Freckle Off? This is a big day for me. First tint tomorrow, then Freckle Off. Tint tomorrow and Freckle Off. Sounds like a Polish piano team.
Let me rub a little on your chin, dear.
Oh, but Mrs. Davis,
It'll do you a world of good. Just this one little dab. There.
I was about to tell you that I don't have any freckles on my chin.
I can see that. But isn't it comforting to know that now you'll never have any?
It's a security I never dreamt of. Mrs. Davis, would you mind taking these baskets into the living room? I've still got some work to do in here.
Certainly, dear. Oh, look who's coming down the driveway, Connie. It's one of your pupils, Fritz Snodgrass.
Oh, you mean the brain?
The brain? Why do you call him that?
I keep hoping that if I just say the word often enough, he'll grow one. I'm in the kitchen, Stretch.
I'll go finish decorating the living room, Connie.
All right, Mrs. Davis.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Stretch.
Well, the reason I come over, Miss Brooks, is I brung you something.
Stretch, you brought me something.
You seen it through the window, huh?
No, Stretch, I saw it through the window.
Oh, then you know what it is I've brang.
I've brang?
Well, that's the past participant of has brung.
Oh, I forgot. What sort of thing did you bring? A thing? Let's see it.
It's right in this basket. See? A rabbit.
But it's a real one. Is he alive?
Oh, of course not. I brought him over from my father's pet shop. He's been preserved.
You mean you mounted it?
No, I rode him over on my bicycle.
Uh, But, Stretch, what am I supposed to do with a stuffed rabbit?
Oh, I thought he'd make a nice centerpiece for your table tomorrow morning.
Oh.
If I say so myself, this is quite a good example of taxi...
You never can get one when it's raining. Oh, thanks for the rabbit, Stretch. It was very sweet of you to bring it. But before you go, what's that big smudge on your face?
Oh, that's from falling off my bike, I guess. I took a shortcut through the meadow.
Well, there's a sink in the pantry. You can wash in there. Here, take these towels in with you.
Towels? Ain't you got no shower curtain?
We use towels here. It's a new fad. And Stretch, if the soap dispenser's empty, you'll find some powder to fill it with in the cupboard.
Okay, Miss Brooks.
I've got to carry these empty egg boxes out to the incinerator, Stretch. See you later.
Nice little pantry. I guess this thing is a soap dispenser, all right. Let's see now. Where's the powder I'm supposed to fill it with? Oh, it must be in these four little bags. It says, Tin Tomorrow. Well, that's a funny name for a soap powder. Well, I'll just dump them all in the dispenser. Now, I'll fill the sink with enough water to wash up with. That ought to do it.
The front part of the house is all set, Connie. Everything back here all right?
Everything but me, Mrs. Davis. I've got the strangest burning sensation around my chin.
Oh, that's where I applied the freckle off. It says on the bottle that if yours is the type of skin that burns easily, you should wash the cream off with soap and water.
Now she tells me. I'll use the sink in the pantry.
I'm all finished, Miss Brooks. Here's your towels back. I didn't need them.
Didn't need them? But you washed, didn't you?
Well, what's the sense of wearing a long-sleeve shirt if you don't use the sleeves?
A well-taken point. Now, if you'll excuse me, Stretch, I've got to stop this stinging on my chin some way. I got some smudges out by that incinerator, too. I might as well do a complete wash job. Here goes.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, if my face was as pretty as yours, I'd never wash it. Boy, I'll bet you're going to be the swellest lady in the Easter parade.
Oh, I don't care about that, Stretch. All I want to do is brighten the little corner where I am.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. No other dentifrice offers proof of such results. Proof that Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. 2 years research at leading universities using Colgate Dental Cream, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice history on tooth decay. Conclusive proof that when teeth are brushed with Colgate right after eating, Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Yes, the toothpaste you use to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, now offers a safe, proved way to reduce tooth decay. Modern science shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate is directed, helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Colgate Dental Cream has been proved to contain all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care. Get Colgate Dental Cream today. Big economy size, only 59 cents. Always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay before it starts. Remember, no other dentifrice offers proof of such results. Well, even if Stretch Snodgrass isn't the most brilliant person in the world, Miss Brooks, who has also washed her face in Walter's dye, might easily attain that title. However, since the dye, which is still in the dispenser, requires hours of exposure before it works, Miss Brooks didn't know on Saturday afternoon what a colorful Easter she was facing.
Will you answer the doorbell, Connie? I'm just getting out of the tub.
All right, Mrs. Davis, I'll get it. Well, Mr. Conklin.
Hello, Miss Brooks.
To what fortuitous circumstance do we owe the pleasure of this visit from Madison's distinguished principal?
This is Saturday, Miss Brooks. You can cut down on the apple polishing. May I come in?
Of course.
Now then, as to the purpose of my visit, with your permission, I'll come right to the point.
Permission granted.
Thank you. As you know, the Easter parade tomorrow will be covered thoroughly by the press photographers.
Yes, I know. The photographers will greet us, and we'll find ourselves in the road to gravure.
Very catchy. In the past, I've always been quite careful about which profile to present to the camera when I'm having my picture taken. But in the parade, one never knows on which side a photographer will pop up.
And when they look you over, you will be in clover.
Oh, stop that. The reason I'm here, Miss Brooks, is because of this large, ugly freckle on my right cheek. I've always resented this freckle, Miss Brooks. It's the only blemish on an otherwise perfectly chiseled set of features.
Oh, you shouldn't be so self-conscious about it, Mr. Conklin. I've never thought of that as a large, ugly freckle. I always thought it was a dimple.
A dimple? Well.
Yes, indeed. Many's the time I've looked at you and thought, what a large, ugly dimple.
Such honesty deserves a reward, and I'll see that you get it in the school weeks to follow. Right now, I'd like to inquire about a cosmetic that my wife mentioned. She said Mrs. Davis told her about it. It's called Freckle Off, I believe.
Oh, yes, that's it, Mr. Conklin. But sometimes it... Say, that would be just the thing for you.
Well, here I finished and it... Oh, hello, Osgood.
Hello, Margaret.
Mr. Conklin was wondering if he could borrow some of your Freckle Off cream, Mrs. Davis.
What for?
For his freckle.
What freckle?
This large, ugly freckle beneath my right ear.
Oh, that. I always thought that was a beauty mark.
A beauty mark? Well...
Yes, many the times I've thought to myself, what a large, ugly beauty mark. But I've got a jar of the cream right here on this table, Osgood. You're welcome to try it.
Here, let me dab it on for you, Mr. Conklin. There we are.
Say, this stuff burns. Ouch! It's hot. It's
well,
hot.
You want it to remove the freckle, don't you?
Yes, but I'd like it to leave the face.
Why? I mean, if it burns too badly, you can wash it off with soap and water. Just follow me, Mr. Conklin.
Well, hurry up. This is awful.
There's a sink right out here in the pantry. I'll fill the basin for you. You'll find soap in the dispenser above the sink. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Conklin. There's somebody at the front door.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks. My car broke down a few blocks from here. I wondered if I could use your phone to call the garage.
Of course, Mr. Boynton. Come in.
I was driving along, not a care in the world, when suddenly, boom, the transmission, the crankcase, and the drive shaft fell out.
Anything serious?
Say, it is. The car won't go at all until they...
I've been running along now, Miss Brooks. Oh, hello, Boynton.
Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin. What brings you to this part of the town?
It's a long and harrowing tale, Boynton. But briefly, your friend Miss Brooks almost burned half of my face off with some alleged freckle remover.
What did you want with freckle remover, Mr. Conklin?
Well, I thought it could remove this large, ugly freckle beneath my right ear.
You're right. Well, I always thought that was just a mole.
A mole?
Well, yes, sir. Many's the time I've thought to myself, what a large, ugly...
Oh, be quiet! Good day to you both.
Oh, Miss Brooks, before I use the phone, I'd like to wash some of the grease off my hands and face. I got pretty dirty tinkering around with the car.
Why, I didn't even notice it, Mr. Boynton. But if you'll just follow me, you can use the sink in our pantry. There's plenty of soap in that dispenser between the taps. Just help yourself.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this ought to do the trick.
We're going to have our Easter breakfast tomorrow about 10 o'clock, Mr. Boynton. Will that be all right for you?
Easter breakfast? Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. That's the reason I drove over, to tell you I can't make it tomorrow.
Can't make it? Why not?
Well, I got a wire from my folks this morning. They're visiting friends at Eagle Springs, and they asked me to join them. It's only 40 miles from here, and I thought I'd drive up in the morning. Of course, that's out of the question now. It'll take days to fix that car of mine.
Good.
But I can catch an early train. Now, tell you what, maybe you can borrow Mrs. Davis's car, and you could drive me to the station in the morning.
What have I done to earn such a bonus?
adventures of our Miss Brooks, as portrayed by the delightful Eve Arden.
Eve Arden. And I did discover, I mixed up My Mother the Car with another series she was in called The Mothers-in-Law.
That's right.
Yes. And that
was Eve Arden.
That was with Kay Ballard, and that was produced by Desi Arnaz. So he basically was kind of the brains behind I Love Lucy. You know, he basically got bought out after the divorce, and that's one of the shows that he accomplished after I Love Lucy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Linda Lou is here, and she said Mother-in-Law's was a Desi Lou production. Yes. Gigi Sidepaper's here, too. And Fogsbane, and who else? Rob Smith, Jr. That guy's here.
And Linda Lou.
Linda Lou's here, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us live. We've still got
at least 38 minutes left.
Yeah, that ain't much, pal. We got to get moving. So let's get on with the conclusion of our Miss Brooks. We'll be back.
For those of us who arose on time, the Easter Sunday sunrise was an awe-inspiring sight. And in Walter Denton's house, where his pal Stretch Snodgrass has had permission to spend the night, is another awe-inspiring sight. Stretch Snodgrass.
Walter. Hey, Walter, are you up?
Yeah, I'm up. Let's get dressed and...
What's wrong with you?
Well, nothing's wrong with me. It's you. Your face looks like an Easter egg.
Easter egg? What makes you say a thing like that?
Because you're all purple. Your whole face.
Oh, what's so funny? Maybe I got high blood pressure.
Sure, like to use some of that delayed action dye of mine.
Dye?
Yeah, I've been keeping it a secret. I call it tint tomorrow because the color doesn't show up until the next day.
Tint tomorrow? I thought that was soap powder. I filled the dispenser at Mrs. Davis's with it.
Yeah, well, I... What? Oh, gosh, I better get over there and warn Mrs. Davis before anybody else uses it.
Well, wait a minute, what about me? How do I get this purple stuff off?
Oh, quit worrying. I'll invent some way to get rid of it. And even if I don't...
Yeah?
I can always dye you another color. So you see, Mrs. Davis, Stretch filled the dispenser with the dye, and anybody that washed there is in for a shock today. Gee, I'm glad you didn't get any on you.
Me too. And I hope Connie didn't use it. She's going to take Mr. Boynton to the train this morning. She should be coming in for coffee any minute now.
Gosh, I hope everything's all...
I just got time for a quick cup of coffee. Oh, hello, Walter.
Hello,
Walter. What's the trouble?
Nothing, dear. You just started this when you came in so suddenly.
Oh. I'll get myself a cup and saucer out of the sideboard.
Look at her, Mrs. Davis. Her face is all green.
I know, but just don't blurt it out at her. We'll break it to her gently. Just keep drinking your milk.
Say, it's after 8. I'd better drink this coffee in a hurry. Mr. Boynton's making a 9:15 train.
Where's he going?
He's going to spend the day at Eagle Springs with his parents. And I don't mind telling you, I'm green with envy.
Walter, control yourself. I'll get a dish rag. And... Oh, will you get that, please, Connie?
All right. Hello, Miss Brooks speaking.
Miss Brooks, this is Mr. Conklin.
Oh, happy Easter, Mr. Conklin. I guess you're getting all dolled up.
Cut the gab. Just answer one question, Miss Brooks. What sort of dye was in that witch's brew you smeared on my face?
Witch's brew? Which witch's brew?
You're knowing very well which witch's brew. That freckle-removing junk you put on me.
But there's no dye in that.
Well, there must have been. You should see my face this morning.
You mean it's a different color?
Different color? Miss Brooks, I'm flad. Thanks to you and your quack remedies, I look like an Italian sunset.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Conklin. I didn't have any knowledge of any
dye. You never have any knowledge of anything. Now, hang up. I'm going to call my doctor and get to the bottom of this gook. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, what do you know about that, Walter? Mr. Conklin's face has turned all colors of the rainbow.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Brooks. I must have been thinking of something comical. I better join Mrs. Davis in the dish rag in the kitchen. Mrs. Davis, that was Mr. Conklin on the phone. He just turned plaid.
This is terrible, Walter. How are we going to get this dye off the people who washed here yesterday?
Well, I stopped at the drugstore on my way over, and Mr. Miller, the pharmacist, said he'd try and figure something out in a hurry.
Well, that's at least some hope. Now, maybe it won't be such a shock when you tell Connie her face is green.
Me? I think I better go home, Mrs. Davis.
What's the matter, Walter? Don't you feel well?
I feel like she looks. But I guess the only manly thing to do is face the music.
Come on, I'll help you break it to her in a roundabout way. Oh, Connie, about that green face of yours. Connie. Connie. Oh, she must have left while we were in the kitchen. Oh, good heavens. What will Mr. Boynton think when he sees her?
Who knows? It may be a break for her. He's always been crazy about frogs.
Coming.
Good morning, Mr. Mr. Boynton, what happened to your face? It's blue.
Yes, isn't it awful? I noticed it when I went in to shave this morning. When did you notice your face was green?
Huh?
It's not really a bad shade of green.
My face?
Oh, here, stand in front of this mirror. Calm yourself, Miss Brooks. I kind of like it. Reminds me of my pet frog, McDougal.
Thanks a million. How did I get this on me?
Well, Walter Denton phoned me a few minutes ago and explained the whole thing. His pal Stretch put some of Walter's delayed dye into the soap dispenser in your pantry yesterday.
You mean the tint tomorrow really worked?
I'll say it did. It won't come off with soap and water or even turpentine. I've tried several times.
Wait till I get hold of that Stretch Snodgrass.
Well, I'm in a worse spot than you are, Miss Brooks. I've had to cancel my trip to Eagle Springs.
Good old Stretch Snodgrass. But if you're not going away today, how about coming over to my place?
Oh, no, I wouldn't budge out of this apartment with this blue face, Miss Brooks. No, I'm just going to have to stay in until it fades. I guess it's an imposition to ask, but, well, I thought maybe I could fix up a little lunch here and play some records to dance to, and, well, if it isn't asking too much, would you care to stay here and keep me company?
I'll force myself.
Sounds good. I'll go into the kitchen and see about rustling up some grub. Just make yourself comfortable.
Oh, don't worry about green face, blue face. I'll be fine. I'll get it.
Don't slug me, Miss Brooks. Everything's going to be fine.
You're so right, Walter. Goodbye.
No, wait. Mr. Boynton told me on the phone about canceling his trip, but now he won't have to.
Not so loud. What do you mean, Walter?
Well, Mr. Miller, the pharmacist, came up with these pills. You just dissolve them in warm water, and it washes the dye off like magic.
No, it does it? Hand them over, Walter. I'll take them in.
Okay, Miss Brooks. I'm sorry for what Stretch did. Well, I imagine I'll see you later on.
Far be it from me to knock a boy's imagination. Goodbye, Walter.
I'm just putting on a timely recording, Miss Brooks. You care to dance, Miss Brooks?
Mm-hmm.
Am I holding you too tight?
Uh-uh.
You mind if I hum in your ear?
Uh-uh.
I'll be all in clover when they look you over. Oh, by the way, who was that at the door just now?
The door?
Oh, yeah, the bell rang as I went into the kitchen. Who was it?
Nobody we know. Happy Easter, Mr. Boynton.
Arden returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful, luster queen girl.
Tonight, Yes, tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Luster Cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives you Kay Dumas' magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Better than a soap, better than a liquid, Luster Cream is a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo.
Dream girl. We got to move along here as we got time a-wasting and one more entire show to get through.
How could that happen?
No, you have no idea.
Did we learn something?
Nah, not a thing. Nor are we gonna. Well, maybe we should learn a little. Yeah, a little something. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Blay, blay. Like washing your hands, that which makes us different brings us together. Okay. Next.
Well, it should.
Hey, Dale.
Yeah.
I've made my head up. We should do Life of Riley next.
I agree. I concur.
Well, let's select from everything that's remaining. Yep, let's do Life of
Riley.
Yeah,
let's see. We got that, and we got this, and we got this, and we got that over there. Life of Riley. Yeah, there we go.
Easy, pal. Yep. This one's entitled The Giant. The Giant Easter Bunny, and it's from...
January, February, March, April 20th, 1946. I think I could be. I don't.
There we go.
Teal for a beautiful smile. The Life of Riley for laughs. Teal, Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice. That's it. Teal. Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, brings you The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Remember, friends, for beautiful smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal. And just for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley, in The Life of Riley. Over the garden of Chester A. Riley's California bungalow, darkness has fallen. Darkness and silence. In the blackness of the backyard, our hero Riley stands, a solitary figure, alert and watchful, waiting. Ah, what's that? Footsteps on the gravel path. And now the fearless Riley grows tense. The footsteps come closer. Closer. Suddenly, Riley leaps forward.
You may be bigger than me, but I ain't afraid of you. I got you.
Riley! Let go of me!
She's thumping. Oh, it's you.
Oh.
It's a good thing you yelled out when we started the fight. Otherwise, I might have got hurt.
Idea of scaring the wits out of people.
Huh?
And what are you doing out in the garden this time of night?
Shh. Peg, not so loud. I'm watching.
Watching what?
My carrots.
For heaven's sake, Riley, why should anybody want to steal your carrots?
Well, I think somebody found out that I got a secret fertilizer for making vegetables grow very big. And they want to steal it.
Secret fertilizer?
Yeah.
You mean that awful mixture you've been mixing out of vitamins and dried fish? Oh, Riley.
Oh, all right, sure. Go ahead, laugh. They laughed at all the great scientists who were trying to benefit mankind. They laughed at Louis Pasteur when he gave microbes to humanity.
Oh, in the house.
No, no. I'm watching for this carrot crook. And when I catch him, I'm... Look, Peg. The prowler. There he is.
Where?
Over there.
Oh, Riley. It's only a rabbit.
A rabbit? Ah, I'll fix him. Where's a stick? I'll scare the daylights out of him.
Oh, dear, it's late. Come on in.
Okay, okay, but you don't know rabbits. By tomorrow, there'll be more rabbits than I can shake a stick at. Say, did Babs get me some more dried fish for my fertilizer?
Oh, no. She went to the movies with Simon Vanderhopper.
Simon? Oh, that's Simon. I don't want that loafer taking my daughter to movies.
What's wrong with the movies?
I've been in them movies. I've seen what goes on with the younger generation in them balconies.
Well, what if Simon does hold Babs' hand?
Holding hands is one thing. Doing it with a half Nelson is another.
Simon, you better go. I only let you come into the house because you said you wanted a glass of water, but you didn't even drink it.
I tricked you, Babs. I had another reason for coming into the house and sitting beside you on the couch.
Oh, what was the reason?
My feet are killing me.
Simon, you'd better go before my father comes in and catches you here.
Not yet. First, you gotta kiss me.
Why, Simon, behave.
I can't go on like this. Just seeing you makes my blood boil. Right now, I can feel my corpuscles cooking. I love you, Babs. I love you madly.
Simon, for heaven's sake, will you go?
Gee, I don't understand why your father can't learn to like me. My father learned to like me. Maybe if I went in and had a man-to-man talk with him.
Oh, maybe, but better wait till after Easter. He's in a bad mood tonight. He's in charge of an Easter party his lodge is giving, and he's having a terrible time trying to think up clever stunts for the children.
Maybe if I helped your father with his Easter party, that might change his attitude toward me.
Oh, well, maybe, but... Well, have you got an idea?
Well, at the party, I could dress up like an Easter bunny.
A bunny? Oh, Simon, that's wonderful. Well, the children would love a big bunny.
That is if I don't have to hop. I can't hop very well. I have fallen arches.
All you'll have to do is hand out the Easter eggs to the kids. Oh, come on, let's go tell Daddy.
No, he might not want to listen. Let's surprise him. I'll rent a rabbit suit, and tomorrow night I'll put it on, and I'll sneak in through your garden. Oh, boy. Somebody's going to get a big surprise.
It's me, Waldo Binney.
Oh, hello, Waldo. How are you?
Oh, my aching back. Seems my dear wife got an anonymous Easter card and recognized my handwriting.
Well, what did you say on the card, Waldo?
It was a poem. Mm-hmm. The little buds grow into flowers when Easter comes our way. And you, my darling, you grow, too. You grow 5 pounds a day.
Well, no wonder she beat you up.
Yes, but I got revenge. Just wait till she sinks her teeth into the colored eggs I gave her.
Why, Waldo?
Well, you see, one of them isn't an egg. It's a chocolate-covered billiard ball.
Oh, what a thing to do.
Oh, yes, I'm a fiend. Well, good night, Mr. Riley. It's getting late.
Yeah, I know, but I'm staying out here. I gotta watch my carrots. Last night, there was a little rabbit nibbling at them. If I ever lay my hands on that rabbit, my wife's coat will have a new mink collar.
Mr. Riley, are you still experimenting with your fertilizer?
Oh, yeah. I call it Riley Grow. It's going to make my vegetables so big, I'll have to pull them out of the ground with a bulldozer. I'll make a fortune.
Yeah. Mr. Riley.
What's the matter?
There's something moving out there now.
Oh, it must be the rabbit.
See over by the fence there?
Yeah, it's all white and... Holy smoke!
Heavens to Betsy!
Jump and catch me!
Oh, my stars!
Waldo, do you see what I see?
Yes, I see it.
A rabbit 5 feet tall.
Oh, my. He's coming toward us. Save me, Mr. Riley.
He's going to attack. Don't be afraid, Waldo. I'll protect you. Stand in front of me.
He's coming closer.
Get away. Get away, shoot.
No, it's all right, Mr. Riley. No, you can stop now. It's gone. Stop.
Oh, he's gone? Waldo. Waldo, I still can't believe it. Maybe we just imagined that rabbit.
Oh, no, we didn't. Look at those huge footprints. No, that rabbit was real.
But how can it be? A rabbit over 5 feet tall. It's impossible. How could he grow so big with... Waldo.
Huh?
I got it. It's my Riley Grow. My fertilizer.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I used it on these carrots to make them grow big. The last time I saw that rabbit, he was small, eating my carrots. And now... That's it, Waldo, that's it.
But it didn't make the carrots big. I don't understand it.
Do you understand radar, or atoms, or plutonium, uranium, and palladium? No, but they work.
Mr. Riley, you are right. You've made a tremendous, earth-shaking discovery. You are a great man.
Yeah. I can see the newspaper headline now. Ignoramus becomes genius. He's after me.
Oh, what's wrong, Connie? Didn't Daddy like your idea?
I couldn't tell. He was too busy throwing rocks. Start the car before he gets here.
Oh, now, Simon, we're going back in there and explain to Daddy.
No, he'll kill me.
Don't be silly. Now, come on.
Well, all right. But not in this rabbit suit. I'll leave it here. If I have to die for you, Babs, I'll die like a man. Not like a rabbit.
Riley, I just can't get over it. You, a famous scientist.
Famous? I'll be notorious.
Oh, just think. Someday your brain will be in Harvard University. In a bottle.
Yeah, I can hardly wait to see it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just think, Waldo. One bite out of one of my carrots.
Mr. Riley.
What's the matter, Waldo?
You've been eating those carrots, too.
Yeah, delicious.
But good heavens, don't you see? If the stuff works on rabbits, then...
Waldo! You mean I'm gonna grow? No, it ain't possible.
In science, anything is possible.
Oh, that's true. Oh, Waldo, what am I gonna do if I grow...
No, pull yourself together, Mr. Riley. Lots of people admire tall men.
But that rabbit grew 5 times its size. I'll be 30 feet high.
Now, don't be an alarmist. You probably will be more than 15 feet high.
But I don't want to be 15 feet high. Where'll I live? My room's too small. I'll have to sleep with my feet sticking out the window. The milkman's horse will lick them.
Now, keep calm, Mr. Riley.
Daddy, are you in the kitchen?
Oh, that's Babs. Don't tell her about this, Waldo. Not yet. I don't want to worry my poor family.
Daddy, Simon is here.
Simon? I got enough trouble without that pest.
Now, wait, Mr. Riley. I can explain.
Simon?
But, Mr. Riley, give me a chance.
Simon, get out of this house.
All right. But someday you'll learn to like me. You'll see. In time, I'll grow on you.
I don't want you growing on me. Right now, I'm growing on myself. Get out of this house!
Teal has just brought you the first act of The Life of Riley, and we'll be back with Riley in just a moment. Meanwhile, this is Ken Carpenter. Have you been promising yourself to try Teal, the only leading dentifrice that cleans teeth without abrasives, protects teeth from ground-in gum-lined cavities? Today, without risking a penny, you can try Teal. Just get the special bargain package. The large 50-cent Teal and the 10-cent size, a 60-cent value, both for 39 cents. Use the small bottle. See how gently Teal's patented ingredient cleans your teeth, avoids harsh abrasive action that gradually grinds in cavities at the gum line. If after using the 10-cent bottle, you aren't completely delighted with Teal, return the large-sized bottle unopened to your dealer. He'll refund the full purchase price. The test will have cost you nothing. But remember, this offer is for a limited time only. So act now. Ask for the special teal offer. T-E-E-L, teal. The tangy, refreshing liquid dentifrice.
We will return to Attack of the 50-Foot Riley after a little bit of chit-chat. Just a little.
Oh, my. It's going to be one big Riley.
Yes. Well, the previous doodad was the Phil Harris Alice Faye. They mentioned Harvey and they had Bugs Bunny and all this, and now we've got another one.
Yep. The bunny and, that ate Cincinnati.
And yes. They're breeding like rabbits.
No, we haven't gotten into it yet. No spoilers, I promise.
No spoiler alerts. No spoilers.
Do you know why bunnies breed so prodigiously?
Because they can.
Well, that's
no. Why?
There's that.
Because man has not created a bunny prophylactic. I really think that maybe at Rexall you could get.
It's because they are food. They have a high mortality rate. They're like food for lots of things.
Oh! I get it. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't a lead into a joke. That was an actual nature fact.
Kind of like Italians. No. Sure. Okay. Big families. Big families.
At least the French have the sense to surrender. I don't know.
I'm no French man, what are you saying?
Give it up while you can. Or, I don't know.
Hold on the radio.
No, we got a little bit of time here.
We got some breathing room now. We do.
If we got some...
Shock therapy.
What?
Yes. Okay. Sure.
Somebody take that coffee mug away from Gar.
I'm actually onto the Gulaid now. I'm on the Gulaid. I promise. It's amazing.
Just in time. Mm-hmm. Too bad it's like Red Bull. We'd be in trouble.
Blah, blah.
Oh yeah.
Oh buddy, don't want to say that. Bull Red. Yes, we know what that is. Sure. Yeah, been there. Mm-hmm. Great country. Yes. So there's a high mortality rate amongst bunnies and other various creatures, I guess. But
I like the folks in the chat. Rob Smith just wrote 100 proof Gulaid. Fox being replied with, it does a dead body good.
It does, yep, and that's what I said. That it's on the label.
It does a dead body good.
Of course it, and we like the fangberry flavor. Why?
It does a dead body good.
That's the slang for it. It's right there on the label.
Yep.
It does. It does. It's great. A cool fish. You have to go to Fang Mart to get it. Until you start hearing bells and then.
I remember our ghoul used to, he had a skit for Gulaid, and it was kind of a spoof on the giant Kool-Aid pitcher crashing through the walls. I forget the exact gist of it. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but it was a great skit.
I've never seen another Gulaid ad for anything. And then weirdly... One year, the Kool-Aid people actually came out with a purple thing, and they called it Gulaid. I didn't see that until years after I had made my little stamp on it.
I would sue. I would sue. Yeah.
I don't know Sue, but if you do, give her my number.
Yes. She lives somewhere in a suburb on the west side of Cleveland.
Like Parma?
I can't.
Oh, he didn't. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Thank you for letting me lead you into that.
Yeah, but thanks for playing the home game. That's right.
That's right. It's Polish soul music.
It is. Polish. I'm there. I like it.
Soul music. Oh. Do you guys indulge? Huh? Well, real quick before we wrap up. Before we wrap up, Riley, do you indulge in any particular Easter foods?
No.
Okay. Thank you. On to part two.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
No. How about
you're
you,
calling Kevin.
No, are there any particular ritualistic Easter foods that you normally have?
No. But we do, we are, the wife's doing, we're doing ravioli.
Ravioli.
This year.
Ravioli.
Yeah, I thought it was cabbage and kidney beans or something.
No. We always get a ham, and then I make a run up into the inner city of Lorain. They have this meat counter there, and I tell you what, the meat counter is like a mile long. It's amazing. And there's a large Hispanic community nearby, so they have a lot of specialty foods. If you're looking for particular peppers, they have a great variety. But their meat market is, like, incredible, and they have all ethnicities of meat products, you know, like the different kind of sausages and whatever. And I get the fresh Polska kielbasa, the smoked. Oh, it's so good. I have to go there. And it's a long drive. It takes me almost an hour to get there, but it's well worth it. Yep.
Why doesn't Lorain get polka music? That's my question.
Why doesn't Lorain get polka music? They did for a while. They had a bar called Goulardi's, and it was Goulardi themed, and periodically they would have polka music.
So we have Parma, and then we have Lorain, and Parma.
You snuck up on me.
Ring that bell.
Third time's the charm, Gar. Say it.
Parma. There we go.
Sound man was sleeping at the wheel.
I have on my kebab. No, the thing, the fez. I don't know. What did they wear? A Krupnik?
Yes, a Krupnik.
And the Krupnik. Exactly. Is that a hat?
And they cost 2 zlotnys each. Let's move on.
Two
we
slotnys.
Do have to wrap up. What are we wrapping up? Our show.
Life of Riley.
We'll be back.
I can always afford a slotnick and a half is all I can afford.
There you go.
And now back to the Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, actually, the 5-foot rabbit that Riley saw in his vegetable garden was really his daughter's boyfriend, Simon, who dressed up in a rented rabbit costume. But poor Riley is certain that his own secret fertilizer, which he put on his carrots, is responsible for raising this gigantic rabbit. Now, having eaten some of the same carrots himself, Riley now fears that he is about to grow into a giant. But his family has no inkling of what's going on.
Mother, isn't it time Daddy got up? He's got to get down to his lodge and get ready for the Easter party.
Oh, let him sleep a little longer. I don't think your father's well.
What's the matter?
Well, I don't know. It started last night at dinner. He wouldn't touch his rabbit stew. And all through the night, he kept getting out of bed and looking in the mirror.
Well, I hope he'll be all right for the Easter party.
Oh, well, I don't think it's anything serious. Now, you go wake up Junior and tell him to get dressed. Oh, by the way, did the tailor bring Junior's pants?
Yes. Oh, let's see, where'd I put them? Oh, yes, I left them on the chair in Daddy's bedroom. Shall I go in and get them?
Oh, no, dear. Let's let your father have another few minutes' sleep. He needs it. I wish I knew what was worrying him.
Feet, 10 feet, 12 feet. I can't stop growing. Oh, now my head is hitting the ceiling. What'll I do? I'll knock my brains out.
Riley, wake up.
Gosh, huh?
Time to get up, dear.
Oh, it's you, Peg. Oh, thank heaven it was only a dream.
Hurry up and get dressed, dear. I'll get your breakfast ready.
Okay, Peg. I'll be dressed in a minute. Oh, where's my pants? Oh, here they are on a chair. Gosh, I wish I could go back to bed. No, I'd better get my pants on. That's funny. They're so tight. What's happened? No. No, it can't be. The pants won't pull up. They're too small. And I ain't even up to my wide part. Oh, it's happened. I'm getting too big for my britches. I'm growing, just like the rabbit. I'm getting bigger by the second. I feel it. My throat is swelling up. I need air. The windows.
Who there, Riley?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Well, I don't feel so good.
Tell me, Riley, why are you leaning out the window in that odd fashion?
I'm breathing.
Breathing?
Yeah.
Fine habit. Don't stop on my account.
Listen, Digger. I'm in trouble. Come in the house. Come in through this window.
If you insist. But I'm not accustomed to getting into such a small opening. Oh, good heavens, Riley. Look at your trousers.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Listen, Digger. What would you say if I told you that I suddenly begun to grow again? And soon I'll be 15 feet tall.
15 feet? Oh, that would upset certain plans I've made for you. I bought you a bathrobe for your birthday. And it's only size 42.
Oh, it's awful, Digger. I'm like Frankenstein. I've created a monster. And I'm the monster.
That's absurd. You look the same to me. However, just to make sure, I'll measure you. Lie down, Riley.
You want me to lie down?
Oh, excuse me, I forgot. In your case, I'll make an exception. Now, let's see. Mm-hmm. Just as I thought. You're still 5'11".
Are you sure, Digger? But these pants, look at them, they hardly... Wait a minute. What's this in my pocket? Marbles. When did I play marbles last? Oh, Digger, these are Junior's pants. And I thought I was growing. I guess my formula only makes rabbits grow. Yeah, that's it.
Rabbits, Riley? What rabbits?
Oh, never mind, Digger. Oh, boy, what a relief. Well, I'm going to enjoy my Easter holiday after all.
Easter is my favorite holiday. Ah, Easter. Getting your pocket picked as you walk in the Easter parade. Sitting down on a gaily colored hard-boiled egg they forgot to boil. Watching my favorite spring flowers budding anew. Lilies. Forget-me-nots and croakers. I adore Easter. It's okay. Well, cheerio. It's time I was shoveling off.
So long, Digger. Watch your head going through the window. Ah, what a sweet guy. Always ready to give people a lift. Oh, my pants. Oh, yeah. Don't get frightened, Peg. I tore Junior's pants when I got into them because I was 15 feet tall. I mean, I thought I was 15 feet tall.
15 feet?
Yeah.
Riley, dear, maybe you better get back into bed.
Bed? Oh, you think I'm crazy. Well, I got a good logical reason for thinking I was 15 feet tall.
Oh, you have?
Sure. Because the rabbit I saw in the garden was over 5 feet tall.
The rabbit was five... Dear, I'll get you an ice bag.
Wait a minute. Stop
feel in my head. I ain't crazy.
But you're talking so foolish.
Oh, no wonder you think I'm nuts. You don't know why the rabbit is 5 feet tall.
Why, dear? Tell me.
On account of he's been eating my carrots that I grew with my secret formula. It makes rabbits grow 10 times their size. Oh, Peg. Peg, this is terrible. I didn't realize.
Now, Riley, please, dear, control yourself.
Peg, look what I've let loose in the world. Do you know what'll happen when 5-foot rabbits begin chasing each other over Hollywood and Vine? It'll be the end of civilization.
Riley, now listen. You didn't see a 5-foot rabbit. And even if you did, it's only one rabbit.
Yeah, now it's only one rabbit. But spring is in the air. Suppose that rabbit decides to get married.
Here's an aspirin, dear.
Pretty soon there'll be so many big rabbits, us humans will be driven to the woods. There'll be rabbits in the streets, rabbits in our homes. Rabbits will be going into restaurants and ordering Welsh Riley.
Crazy talk.
Let me go, Peg. I gotta trap that rabbit and keep him a bachelor.
But you couldn't have seen a 5-foot rabbit.
I tell you, I did see him.
Now, you listen to me. What happened to you is what they call an optical illusion. Now, you may have seen a rabbit in the garden, but it was only a little rabbit.
Well, Bat, I got that rabbit suit on again. How do I look?
Simon, maybe we better forget about this whole thing.
Oh, no. It's a great idea. I'll be tops with your father after this. Where is he?
He's still dressing in his room.
Boy, wait till he comes in. When he sees a big rabbit sitting here in his Morris chair, it'll knock his eyes out. Now, the minute your father is finished dressing, you go in.
It was all your imagination. Now, wasn't it?
Well, I...
Oh, come on now. Admit it.
Yeah. Yeah, Peg, you're right. You convinced me. I imagined the whole thing.
Well, I'm glad that's cleared up. Now, you relax while I get this room straight.
All right.
Oh, the Sunday paper's in the living room, dear. In your Morris chair.
Okay, Dumplin', I'll get it. Imagine thinking I saw a 5-foot rabbit. It's ridiculous. Only lunatics see 5-foot rabbits. Why, I ought to have my... Peg, he's in there.
Who?
The rabbit. He's sitting in my Morris chair.
The rabbit? Now, Riley, don't start that again.
I'm going to look again. Now he's reading the Sunday papers.
This has gone far enough. I'm going to prove to you once and for all that...
No, Peg, don't go in there. They may be vicious.
Daddy, hurry up.
Babs, she's in there. Help us. I gotta save her. Now I got you, you monster.
Stop.
Get moving to my house, will you? I'll show you.
Daddy, hold on, wait.
Mr. Riley, wait. Get off.
Now, shut up, you beast. You can't talk yourself out of... It talks. The rabbit talks.
But, Mr. Riley, it's me, Simon.
Oh, Riley. Daddy, you thought the rabbit was real?
Wait a minute. You mean it ain't a real rabbit? It's only Simon?
Sure. It's me, Mr. Riley.
What a revolting development he is. Simon, get out of that costume, you faker.
But, Mr. Riley...
Take it off or I'll rip it off.
There. It's off.
Simon, get out of this house.
Yes, sir. I'm going. I know the way by heart.
And don't come back. No daughter of mine is going to go out with an imitation rabbit.
Riley is will be back in half a minute. Now, at your dealer, a special offer on Peel, the liquid dentifrice. With a large 50-cent size, you get a 10-cent bottle, a 60-cent value, both for 39 cents. If you aren't delighted with Peel, return the large Peel bottle, unopened, and get your money back.
Well, it's time to hand out these Easter eggs to the kids.
If you hadn't thrown Simon out, Daddy, you wouldn't have had to dress up in that rabbit suit.
Oh, I don't need Simon. I got enough brains to be a rabbit. Well, better get started. Come on, come on, come on, kiddies. Your Uncle Bunny's got some lovely Easter eggs for you. Now, who's first? Come on. Ah, here you are, little girl. Take your egg and, what's the matter, little girl? Afraid of Uncle Bunny? What are you staring at?
Oh, Mommy, look at the big ears on that rabbit.
Oh, is that so? Well, it so happens that these are my own ears. Happy Easter, everybody.
Procter & Gamble, makers of Peel, the amazing liquid dentifrice, invites you to be their guest next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. William Bendix appears by arrangement with Hal Roach and may soon be seen in Paramount's The Blue Dahlia. The Life of Riley is produced for Peel by Irving Becker and is directed by Don Bernard. Music by Lou Kosloff. This is Ken Carpenter on behalf of Teal, inviting you to listen again next week. And remember, for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley, and for lovely smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal. Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, protects teeth beautifully.
So also turns your teeth the color teal, but that's okay.
back when we lived in a teal-colored world, that's right.
That's right. That would be the 50s or so.
Yep, that was before Technicolor. Before Technicolor, yes.
We got just enough time for this. Erie House Radio proudly presents another Gar's Moral of the Story.
No, you're a bunny. Rabbits breed, not read. Parma.
Yeah, there you go. Parma in reverse. Parma. Which is, if you spell Parma backwards, it's AMRAP. Did you know that?
AMRAP. Yep. I know now.
Okay.
There was an AMRAP street near when I first got married, Dave. I lived in an apartment in Parma Heights, and there was a little street called AMRAP, a little side street.
I wonder how they got that past the city council.
I don't know. I think Parma, although some people in Parma were insulted by all the intention, I think most people got the joke and just ran with it.
Oh, yeah. It gave a lot of attention to that city.
Mm-hmm. It's called free advertising.
It is like the eighth largest city in Ohio. So
Detroit has their version. I believe it's Hamtramck, but I can't imagine someone sudden yelling Hamtramck. See, that just doesn't.
It does not roll off the tongue.
No, it does not. No.
Not like Parma does.
Hamtramck. I don't know.
Yeah, just a moment there, Gar. We got to talk about tomorrow. We're wrapping up Easter weekend.
Okay.
With Burns and Allen, my Easter at War Council, and my favorite husband, Iris and Liz's Easter, with none other than Lucille Ball and the predecessor of, really, I Love Lucy. That's tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern, and then right after that, at 8 o'clock. What are we gonna do?
Parma. No, what? Sorry, channeling Charlie Callis there for a second. Horrible with I starting guys go. Yes. Okay.
Good.
There you go.
I'm just getting into the lyrics of this tune here. Oh, thank God for Yasu. He found that Kishka and it was all good. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes, tomorrow again at 6:30 and afterwards at 8, you got Gar the Ghoul. Horrible horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
Yes, on the Twitch.
PM. On the Twitchy?
Yep, someone liked it.
And that Twitchy channel thing, yeah. A Twitchy TV.
Yeah, Twitch.
See you tomorrow night, folks.
Castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Rabbit.
We'll be back tomorrow with or without the chicken. I promise.
An Easter chicken from Parma.
I had to fill that
coffee
cup. Get
away from the coffee cup.
I had to fill that.
It's an Easter chicken.
I had to fill that couple seconds of live time there for the live. Nice crowd tonight. Very nice crowd tonight.
Yeah. Well, I would have burned them, but yeah, okay, yeah, you know, get some sticks together, some matches, you know. Blee blee.
Riot like a villager, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, there's just not enough villagers these days. I don't know what happened. You know, we need to get them together. Round them up. Set them in a direction. I don't know. Send them to Parma. Parma. So much fun with that. Barefoot rider. What's a barefoot rider? There you go. There it is. Become
really
a barefoot.
It never leaves us.
Yep. It is part of a lifetime culture now.
I'm being distracted by shiny buttons. I have an advert that says, become a barefoot writer and live the life of a famous writer without having to write a blockbuster movie script or a chart-topping book. What? I've heard of a barefoot doctor. Contessa. Parma.
There was the barefoot executive, the Walt Disney movie.
There was a barefoot doctor it was a doctor that traveled around, you know, and made his rounds. I think there was also some people that were kind of like getting you spiritually energized, and they were barefoot people too. Possibly. I'm not sure. Something about lack of footwear going on there.
That's usually Appalachia.
Okay.
My wife's family, it's like Southern Ohio and West Virginia is considered Appalachia, and I like to kid my wife. Her family's from Pennsylvania, and I'm a lifetime.
Oh, you just count the teeth.
I'm a lifetime Northern Ohioan, so I like to tease her and say that people are from Pennsylvania are just people from West Virginia who got lost trying to find Ohio. So
you just count the teeth and divide by seven, you know, and you figure it out.
Especially when she runs around barefoot.
Well, barefoot, yeah.
I have an Al Bundy. I have an Al Bundy-like aversion to feet.
I know you know. At one point in time, I was the assistant manager of a shoe department at Penny's, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Good grief. I'm sitting here. I had these revelations about shock therapy, and I've worked in restaurants. I've worked as a shoe department, and met my wife there. As I was assistant manager of the shoe department, I never sold her shoes. She gave me the boot.
Did you work with a guy named Griff?
No.
Okay, just ask.
Griff was
Al Bundy's buddy in the shoe store.
I thought he was alone in there.
Sometimes he was, but sometimes, like, early in the show, there was, like, a guy who was trying to be a cool guy who was a co-worker, and then Griff was very successful, lasted a very long time. He was an African-American actor, very funny, kind of a big guy, but he played off of Al's humor very, very well. And they were, like, kindred souls, him and Al.
You really don't run across too many shoe stories. Not really. But one time I was closing up, and I was back in the stock room, and I'm sitting there, and I was doing inventory or something. I forget what I was doing. There was nobody around. It was, you know, it was 2 minutes until it closes. And I turned to my left.
Keep it PG. Oh. Okay. What?
It's in a store. I don't know. I turned to my left, and I'm like freaked out because when I turned to my left, there's this woman standing there with her shoe in her hand going,
could you give me a size 10?
And she was giant. She was like, you know, I'm 5'6". She was like, you know, he's like, my gosh. You know, I was like, whoa, man.
Could have been a dude.
My tie almost fell off. No, that wasn't a dude. Right. I didn't check or anything, but, you know, you're a court law. You know, this was, nobody's supposed to go back in the stock room. And I turn around and there's one, could you give me a size 12? You know, I'm like,
that's
what?
Where I was afraid of the rating of the program after this.
Wait,
you're
you know me. What?
You're alone with a giant woman in the shoe store. That's
at almost closing time. Who scared
was she,
me?
Was she chewing on Riley's carrots? What?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, she was in a rabbit suit, but
that's awesome, Dave.
And it was Easter at the time, you know, so it was, yeah, so, you know.
Riley's carrots.
I didn't know. She had a shoe in one hand, some Easter eggs in the other. I don't know.
And Riley's carrots.
And did you notice in Riley that Riley said, you know, that the bunnies have to get married? You know, that was funny.
They're self-respecting rabbits, you know. You don't want
that's right. You know,
rabbits
had to go to
morality running around. That's
right. You know, they went to rabbit court and
goes
to rabbit court. Found the rabbit judge. You know, do you take? Yes, I do. Sign the paper. You know.
Yeah, unless they get an annulment, a rabbit annulment, then.
Oh yeah, typically with an axe. Oh, hello. What?
Chop off his tail or something.
Yeah, well, and keep the feet, right? You know,
a rabbit, not a bobbit, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a different one.
With the axe.
Hello. See, I didn't go blue. Who goes blue? The guy to tell me, hey, don't go blue. You know, there he is.
I'm a
bad guy. I
wasn't in the background with no giant woman, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, well, even worse, nothing happened. So, you know, something's wrong with me. I don't know. Some Amazonian wanting large, you know, it's like, look at the bolts on you, woman. You just cruised right there. I'm surprised you didn't hear a tugboat. You know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like a size 10, and where can I get a cigar?
You know, and it was...
Do they come with their own oars?
Yeah, that's right, you know. I'd like to see something in a speedboat, please. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Indy single motor.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that was... That was about the only other one was I remember there were like two, but the only other one was this guy comes in, he's like a street urchin, and just comes in and he's like
a street urchin
back in the day, you know, that's what we had, and the guy comes in, he says,
I need some shoes, you know, I like some shoes, yeah, I can try it,
and I didn't run across this too much, but that was one where I'll never forget it. The aroma coming off that guy, and when he took off his shoe, I was like, man, you don't mind if I spray you down, sir, do you? You know, I mean.
Street urchin sounds like some lower level delicacy or something. Yes, we have the street urchin smothered in urban sauce.
Well, you get your highway urchin and you got your street urchin, and they're kind of, you know, one is a little bit, you know.
I see.
And, you know. Yeah, the bypass urchin up there somewhere. You know.
The bypass.
It just depends on what type of fishing line you're using. I don't know, but yeah, that guy took off his shoes and I was like, my God, here, let me smell this over here. We're doing better.
So here's my plan. The very minute that I monetize this channel, I will do this someday soon. All right, I'm sending you some of this dark coffee that I have.
I've got coffee. I have got the best coffee ever.
Oh no! You got it. This stuff is like rocket fuel. It should be on the black market. It should be delivered by coyotes. Okay, this stuff is some potent ass coffee. Sorry, there's no other way to say it.
And then we're going to do a then we're going to do a talk show and call it Gar Unleashed.
Gar Unleashed.
Show,
yeah.
For an hour. I figured you'll hour and a half. Maybe you'll run out of steam.
Then we'll get to ask him a question, right? After
yeah.
that,
yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
And just see what happens.
I've had Cuban coffee before. That is some intense stuff.
Yes. Yes, it is.
They only give it to you in a small thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have to run around in a circle for 10 to 15 minutes just to, you know, calm down.
And I'm by no means a coffee connoisseur. What do they call that? A garmot? No, not a garmot. What do they call that? A barrister?
A curmudgeon. No.
A barrister. That's who serves the coffee is a barrister.
That's a barrister. That's a lawyer in England.
That's also true. I think a barrister is also someone who delivers the coffee or I don't know makes it or mixes it.
That's a corristor.
Now you're making me look it up. All right,
just type in not Mr. Coffee. What's that place? Starbucks. What's the name of the guy that serves? And it'll say croissant or something.
A croissant?
Yeah, croissant. It's French for give you coffee. I don't know. No, the barrister in the UK is a lawyer, and they wear a white wig. I don't know why, but they're into the white wig thing, and they're very funny. Like the Rumpole on the Bailey, wasn't that the guy? Rumpole.
Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. It's a barista.
A barista serves
coffee, such as espresso, to the public.
Right.
Yeah. It's Italian,
do they
by
have
the
to
way,
wear...
for bartender. Did you know that?
Ooh. Okay, so, yeah. So only in America, yeah, I guess, coffee.
They do love them some coffee in Italy. Absolutely.
In Italy, yeah, where they have very large families because, you know, bunnies are hunting them down or something. I forget how that works.
Giant bunnies.
See, either giant bunnies or the mafia, one or the other, you know.
Woo!
It depends on what part of Sicily you're from, you know.
My gosh, yeah.
Wasn't Harvey a giant bunny?
He was. I mentioned he was the 6'8" or something. He had to be taller than Jimmy Stewart because Jimmy Stewart looked up to him, and so they came up with some height bigger than Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, I'll be darned. Did not know that.
Yeah, I looked it up, as well as that $1,000 in 1958 was worth $10,000. What else did I look up? I looked up all kinds of stuff.
And, one of the worst movies ever had a giant bunny, Night of the Lepus, or a giant bunny.
Oh, yes. the illusion
horrible.
Of, yeah.
Horrible.
I had to go look up rye whiskey because I didn't know what it was. I've never had it.
It was popular probably 50, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
What, is gin still popular?
Gin is still popular.
Yeah. Mhm.
But rye is out, huh? I've had rye bread.
I worked around bars forever. Order like a rock and rye or anything, any kind of a rye. I never heard anybody ask for it. It was a corner bar with mixed ethnicities of various Eastern European type people, mostly.
Do you think they carried rye? Like they had it and nobody, you know, they'd have to dust off the bottles?
I know they had a wide variety of liquors in this particular bar, but I don't remember rye or anyone ever asking for it. It was like, nope.
I think I haven't had, I don't think I've had alcohol for 30 years, I think.
I've had a few sips here and there. I'll have a little wine once in a while and an occasional beer, particularly for some reason when I'm grilling, I feel the need to have a beer.
Well, the older I've gotten, the VA has been splendid in providing with medication, so I don't need it. You know?
But I can't
take
drink
two of these.
Like
go to bed. You'll be fine.
I can't drink like I did when I drink for a living.
Diabetes.
Yeah, I know. You can't.
Diabetes.
You know.
Diabetes.
Yeah, that'll make my sugar go crazy up and down and sideways. And,
someone told me that alcohol is nothing but sugar, and I was like, what? And I was like,
well it is.
Okay.
And what happens is at first it your sugar skyrockets, but then it plummets like a stone. Or at least that's what happens to me, and sometimes dangerously so. I don't play with especially hard liquor very much at all. Never.
I found it amazing. If you go back and look at the 1950 media, like movies and some TV shows, and maybe the 40s and 50s, they were very prominent with their cigarette smoking and their everybody was very into social drinking.
Social drinking and social smoking, absolutely.
Yes.
But it was highbrow.
Even
it was
into the 60s, I think, until the Surgeon General said, yeah, maybe this isn't so good. Maybe three out of four doctors were lying.
Yeah, but also in the 60s, that's when the hippies popped out and said, hey, man, have you tried this stuff? You know, and things changed. But
I know. It really now rocks. It seems like you're looked down on more for smoking cigarettes than for weed, for God's sakes.
Oh, well, yeah, but
who knew?
The social drinking was more highbrow. Like you would see people still in a sports jacket and a tie with their little drink, and they would invite people over, and they play cards and drink alcohol and smoke.
Sure.
They don't do that anymore, I don't think.
Well, some people do. I don't think they get dressed up to do it. They you know what I mean? But people who are really into cards or whatever, they still have little get-togethers, and I'm sure that beverages of choice are chosen.
There's a lot of circumstances where people...
Now they don't get together. I guess, I don't know, social distancing bridge with gloves? I don't know. Let's all wear scuba suits and call it a day, all right?
Right, yes. I spoke with a medical professional earlier today, and I said, yeah, well, I don't go anywhere unless I'm in an entire, full body environmental suit. That's kind of how I'm working now. Best way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're going to go somewhere, environmental
and,
suit.
And blinders so you don't look at anybody the wrong way. I think that's the way to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a metal bar that I shove down the back of my shirt. It forces my head to look down, and it works too.
There you go. That's I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever
you know,
it takes.
So you look down.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
The fuck is to being antisocial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally obnoxious and rude. There's your social distancing.
Yeah, you know. But we've been doing that for years. It's kind of, hit or miss.
Yeah, that's true. You know. That's true. Now it's become
Yeah.
Some people just don't read the signals very well. That's all.
Who ever thought putting the two words social and distancing together was a good thing? I don't know.
it's getting old.
A lot of people, I'm so tired of this, you know. I reposted something that I posted a year ago, so at the beginning of the pandemic, sort of, and it said, the government's going to give you about $1,000, and then they're going to close all the stores. Way to go. And, you know, we're not too far away from that still. So, it still works. Supposedly they gave out, money, and then, the stores are still closed. France just shut down again. But, that's France.
Yep, they did.
They're used to surrendering.
Well, if the children can't go to daycare, where are they going to get their cigarettes?
Exactly. See, now you see things from my point of view.
Parma? What? That's
how ready I was.
There you go. There you go.
Not very.
You
not
should
very.
Hit. Finger on the trigger, always, I mean, I'm
you know,
loaded
it's
over
hard
here.
It's when you have to scroll.
Yeah.
It'd be
it is,
if I had
it is.
They make software for DJs, and I'll tell you what, some of it is so cool.
Some of it will even automatically. There was this one program. I think it was called Otsjuke. Okay?
Wow.
And it would take dance music, and it would actually mix the beats for you, and it would beat mix for you for, like, people that didn't have that skill or didn't have the time, maybe, or too lazy. I don't know. But it would beat mix
this,
for
this
you.
Is this a virtual soundboard type thing?
Yeah, it was a soundboard, and it was a service you would buy into as a professional disc jockey. I never did, but I worked at bars who had such systems. And you would periodically buy the songs. They had it in their own format, similar to an MP3, but it was their own format. I think it was kind of a file, and it was the modern music. That's why, you know, you stayed on the service. They keep sending you, as well as oldies. And, but mostly it was more utile, I think, for nightclub DJs that kept people dancing all night. The guys who didn't talk much, especially in a dance club, you didn't. Some of them never spoke at all and just played dance music and shut the hell up.
What? Didn't they replace DJs with some type of mechanized thing that you it never speaks? There's
I'm sure that software's out there. It has to be. With all the AI in industries, it wouldn't surprise me if that exists. I haven't been into it in several years now, the DJ software or whatever. But that was an early one, Otsjuke.
I know of a radio disc jockey, a friend that I've known. I think I've known of her over 10 years. We're close. I've sent her comic books. So, you know, it's like... Mm-hmm. And she was working in radio.
But you were practically you were practically engaged then.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. She, it wasn't for the fact that she's in Toronto or somewhere, but she was a DJ. She was a disc jockey, and the station like fired everybody and replaced them with a robot that plays music.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that was when she was, okay, I'm done with this, and she moved on to other things. But very likened to this, a very personable, fantastic, funny radio personality. Really quick on the trigger, unlike me. I'm just hopped up on caffeine. I don't know. Blah, blah. Trying to figure out what rye is, you know. I'm lost in a lost world.
It's a type of bread you have with corned beef, of course, you fool.
Yeah, no, I bake Black Russian rye bread. Yeah, that's some intense stuff.
Black Russian. Black Russian. Isn't that called pumpernickel?
Sounds racist to me.
Yeah,
if you're from Parma, maybe. I don't know where that goes.
Yeah, I like pumpernickel bread. Pumpernickel bread.
I don't know. That's crazy. Let me do this here.
I don't like the goofy dip they make for pumpernickel bread. What's that gooey, I don't know, some kind of pasty.
It ain't guacamole.
Yeah,
okay,
it's consistency or something.
It's a Black Russian rye bread. Yeah, and it's a crazy, just this amazingly taste to it. And I made it from scratch for my dad, and he was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" I was like, "Okay, well there you go."
I used to bake bread. Never heard of it. What is there another bread that you would liken it to in any way?
Like the closest cousin would be like a Jewish rye.
Okay. I'm familiar with Jewish rye. It's a very good bread.
This
hearty.
This is even darker and almost has like a licorice taste to it somehow. It's really bizarre.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, but you know, the closest I could think would be like a really strong Jewish rye.
Have you ever had Easter bread?
Nope. No idea. You got
some
me there. What is Easter bread?
It's some cultures make it. I think they make it a twisted thing, and it's a real, like, they use a lot of egg in it, in the mixture. It's like an eggy type thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
So it has its own weird flavor, but good, very good. Easter bread.
Okay.
And I think it has some, the cultures that have it, it's there's religious tie-in, I think. I don't remember.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Ralph Bakshi's movie animated film Wizards? Please say yes.
No.
I am familiar with it.
Yeah. Okay. Remember the part where they go to the two guys and they go, hey, we need a decision about what to do with these people. And then they sit there and they do that little dance and stuff. They hit each other with boards and all that. Remember?
I don't remember it that well. No.
Please review that film. That is so funny. Because it's great to, you know, but, and Dave, you need to go find Wizards by Ralph Bakshi, B-A-K-S-H-I, Bakshi.
Okay. Have you ever seen a loaf of bread that looks like a long stretched out pretzel, like it's braided?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
That is Easter
right.
bread.
Right, and there's this, I don't know how or why, but I've got memories of making that type of braided bread before. Here's the black bread uses coarse rye, and the pumpernickel you're talking about has a regular rye, and so there's a different thing going on there. A long time ago, I was a cook person, and I did that. Then I moved into management in the restaurants, but I also did it with shoes and management. And
my God,
shoes.
Is there anything you didn't do?
I haven't been.
You mean besides hold a job?
Yeah, apparently. There you go.
Wow.
There you go. You found me out. No, seriously, I was like, man, I've been here a year. I got to go.
Steve, what you don't do in volume, you do in quality.
Dave was sitting there stewing and brewing on that one, just ready to let go. Hey, God, did you ever hold a job? I don't know. I had a lot of them, you know.
A Memorex moment.
For one day, I sold vacuum cleaners. One day. That was it. I'm not kidding. Door to door. One day. That was it.
I did windows for Sears for about a day and a half. And I'm like,
none of us can hold a job except Dave. He's been at that place, the Salvation Army, for 682 years. I think
actually, in September I will have had the radio services of the blind as a vocation for 30 years, and there's 12 more years where I was a volunteer. On top of that,
Dave, the only thing I could top on that would be that I've been breathing longer than that. That's about it. You know, I just.
But
that annoys me.
I know.
Stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, as a goal, you know, I stop
that
intermittently.
Breathing
but...
thing. Oh, that's good.
Is Dale there? Dale, are you there?
Put your pants back on. Put your pants back on.
Okay, pants are up. Pants are up. Yeah, you okay? Yeah, so. Breathing. Yeah.
Oh, all the unnecessary breathing.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, I worked in a theater once, you know, that's at least, you know, 2 days for that. You know. It's fun being unemployed and reemployed. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, gotta pay a bill, right?
Oh,
you know.
I had my share of those moments.
I made a lifetime of it. What are you talking about?
It sucks though when you got like these two short people in your house. They share your last name, and a female roughly your age that shares your last name, and they like, what do you mean we gotta cut back?
Yeah, right. Cut back on what? You seem like you're eating a whole lot over there. I think you need to back
find
up.
Your ass a job, fat boy.
Yeah,
that's right.
What are you doing? You know,
that's what they told me. That's what they told me.
What do you think? You live in Parma?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. See, almost. It was almost he's scrolling up right now.
It's like he's looking over my shoulder.
I know. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have.
You would have enjoyed being a Clevelander, Gar. You would have enjoyed being a Clevelander. Had destiny been different, you would have
to
capture your imagination.
Well, I would have gotten, you know, at least two court summons that said, you know, stay away from these people, you know.
There's that.
At least.
No,
at least.
I can picture you enjoying, if you are old enough, I don't think you are, to have seen, to see Goulardi, because I think I was old enough.
I was old enough. I think I was old enough.
No.
I think
he was on in 1963. No? How old were you then?
It went off in 66. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It would have been dim memories, but yeah.
Okay.
I was born in the 64, so yeah, I would have been pretty young.
But knowing your sense of humor, you would have loved Big Chuck and his various shows with Houlihan and or with Little John. And I think you would have enjoyed the Ghoul. I know you would have enjoyed Superhost in his simple way.
Yeah.
He was a good horror host.
Yeah.
I think you would have liked Captain Penny. I think you would have liked Captain Penny.
I've seen some of the things you're speaking of through the internet. So they're fun.
And
somewhere around here, I've got documentaries of Horror Host, and they're on there.
Yeah. Did you see the one? Let's see. I can't remember. Oh, gosh. Halloween Jack is in that one.
American Scary?
Thank you. American Scary.
Yes. Yeah, I had that. I had that.
Actually, there's a brief scene of myself from the Ghoul Show on that.
Yes. I was happy. I jumped up and down a little bit when I saw that. I was like, oh, there he is.
Well, sorry about the indigestion. I've made you jump out of your chair.
Well, you know. It actually loosened a lot of stuff up, you know.
He was in between jobs, and he would just, thought somebody called him for work.
Exactly. There you go. And Dave, I saw the advert where they put you on TV Guide on one of the adverts for Tunnel Vision or whatever that is. What's it called?
We don't discuss that channel here.
Okay. Well, I just saw that and I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got to sell shoes somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
If you're Al Bundy.
If you're Al Bundy, yeah. Was there any other ones? There was one where we had this one customer, and this guy is an elder man, so it's not romantic or anything.
Are you back in the shoe store again?
Yeah, back in the shoe store again. You know, he mentioned Al Bundy, so. So this guy comes in. The most expensive shoe that JCPenney sells is called a wing top shoe.
Wing tip.
Wing tip. There you go. Okay, sure, yeah.
There you go.
And it was the most expensive male shoe that was there. And this elder guy, slowly shuffles up to the counter, and he's got a bag, and he puts it up on the counter, and he pulls it out, and it's this box of shoes. And he says, these wore out. I was like, well, let me check. And I checked, and they're like 2 years old. And I said, yeah, they wore out because you bought them 2 years ago. He's like, yeah, I'm here for a replacement. Like, I'm not going to replace these shoes. Are you nuts? And then he was like, no, I'm here for the replacement. So I go to my manager. The manager comes over. Oh, yeah, here you go. Here's your replacement. See you. Like, bye. Come back in. See you in 2 years. And I was like, what the heck was that?
Lifetime shoes.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they, you know, kind of like Sears, you know, if you take back a hammer that's 968 years old, you know, they'll give you a new one.
If you can find a Sears.
Well, if you can find a Sears, yeah. Dave did it again. if you can find a Sears.
The only Sears I can find now is a Sears Radio Theater.
There you go. Ooh. And that's kind of, well, I like the CBS Radio Mystery, but, you know, the Sears thing is there, but I'm blaming it. If I had to flip a quarter or something, it'd be the other. But were there any other weird things? I remember Christmas rushes were
just nuts. Even in shoes. We sold so many shoes during Christmas. It was crazy. No, I think that's a bit. That's about it for Al Bundy and shoe anecdotes that I have. Just being frightened. I was actually frightened by this woman. She like blocked out the light. I mean, she was enormous. I was like, you know, like 8 feet tall. You know, the Edison at 14. You know, I was like, what? You know, well, maybe I don't. You know, sure. Yeah, let's check.
There you go.
I guess we've wound it out. We went quiet.
Pretty much.
Something like that.
Hi, everyone. Yeah. I'm running out of gas.
Yeah, okay. That's the reverse of this. It's a... Nope, wrong way. There you go. Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, I'm on the downside of that, yeah.
Yeah.
But more radio tomorrow. And,
yeah, you guys have fun.
What about horror?
Yeah, we're going to do it. It's all set. But I don't remember what it is. I'll have to go back and look. That's crazy. It's completely out of my mind. I have no idea what I'm doing. But, yeah.
Story of my life.
Okay. Oh, I've got the script right here. I forgot. It's not a script. It's a rundown sheet, sort of. Do I have it? Yeah, there it is. Tomorrow we're going to see Bela Lugosi in The Invisible Ghost. And I can't remember
that.
That's a really bizarre one. I wanted to, there was some things in there when I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, I have so many comments about this.
It lends itself for good sound bites, that's for sure. When I hosted that one, I had a blast with it. Yep.
Bela Lugosi, he's creepy in this. He's like, I'm going to get you. And it's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, he comes at the screen a couple times. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he comes, yeah, and it's a woman on the other side. And it's like, you know, did you ask permission? What's going on there, Bella?
No.
Well, you didn't have to ask permission back then.
Yeah.
That
was the 30s. Okay. What are you thinking?
All
right, so we'll pick this up tomorrow at 6:30 for them what can make it.
Come on in, gentlemen. Jimbo Durante.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. What more is this say but good night?
Good night.
We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Radio.